It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. And I think we have quite a show because there's some pretty interesting news that's developed over the past, well, this week and the previous weeks that I think will set a tone for the coming year. The starts with the annual Farm Bureau's convention, which is in Austin, Texas. And I guess it's fair to say that they threw down the gauntlet today, They threw down the gauntlet when they announced that Swamp Buster, which has long been a program that they are not a fan of, when they announced that Swamp Buster should be repealed. Swamp Buster, for those of you who may not remember exactly what takes place, is you cannot receive federal subsidies for growing crops if you drain wetlands. And that has been in place for decades now. And it has always been a thorn in the side of agriculture in that they have felt that it's a broad brush that simply takes away a property owner's rights to be able to manage their property as they so would like. And Swamp Buster goes back, as I said, over 25 years. It's been part of the Farm Bill for a long time. And the American Farm Bureau Association reaffirmed its commitment this year to have Swamp Buster repealed. So I lead off with that story because it signifies that we are at a philosophical divide. It's not agriculture against the rest of us, or us against agriculture, more better put. We are though at a philosophical divide as to how our water in America should be treated. And I've grown up in agriculture, I am in agriculture, but I think it is absolutely preposterous that a landowner should be able to take their wetlands on their property, drain them through underground drainage tiles into the nearest roadside ditch, which then takes that water with gravity downstream, and it goes from the roadside ditch into a bigger roadside ditch, into a small stream, and ultimately that water makes its way to the Mississippi River, or sometimes it goes directly to the Mississippi or the Illinois River. Why in America are we permitting the drainage of lands, private lands, onto public property? The massive amount of flooding, which I've talked about now a great deal, and we're at it again. I got a text yesterday from a member of the levee board in Mississippi who said, you're not going to believe it. We're looking at 2019 all over again in 2020, record high floods, record durations, and the explanation is so simple. We have drained too many wetlands, and we are moving the water at a high rate of speed downstream through unseen millions of miles of unseen tiles that crisscross the heartland of America, and we're using public waterways to move private water. The only entity in the country that is allowed to do this is agriculture. And I'm in agriculture, so I'm not dumping on myself. But you cannot do this as a housing developer, as a real estate developer, as a commercial developer. You have to come up with on-site storage retention. Why is agriculture different? I've done it. The drain tiles on my farm were there before I got there. I've maintained them. I haven't expanded them, but I've maintained them. And the water comes down, it rains, it goes off the field, it goes into a nearby ditch, and I know very well that water goes straight into a public waterway because that's how all the water moves. So the Farm Bureau would like to say that we should take all regulations off, that an individual should be able to drain any wetland they want on their property. It's their property, and they should not be penalized for doing so. There are two points of this that are central. Number one, the American taxpayer, by and large, is financing the overwhelming amount of federal crop insurance And there is hardly a farmer in America today that operates without federal crop insurance. If you want to borrow any money from a bank, you have to have it. And frankly, if you want to be financially solvent, given the amount of flooding we're having, you have to have it. The U.S. taxpayer is subsidizing that. It is not something that an individual in agriculture takes out and pays 100% of the cost. They pay a fraction of the cost. It's subsidized by the U.S. taxpayer, the Federal Crop Insurance Program. So if a landowner wants to farm and they want to drain their wetlands, why should the U.S. taxpayer subsidize that? That's the whole purpose behind Swamp Buster. We're not going to subsidize it. That decision was made years ago. So I don't really understand today in 2020, with everything we're looking at in the recent years of history, why the American Farm Bureau wants to push for still more drainage, wants to not have any protection on the smallest and most important wetlands in the United States. Because it's the small wetlands that we talked about last week, which heat up the fastest, provide the invertebrates. It is what birds and plant life need the most is the small wetlands. And the Farm Bureau would like to have no protections on them of any kind. This is something we might have talked about in 1960. But it's not something we should be talking about in 2020. We know the consequences of wetland drainage. And the Farm Bureau is just, of which I'm a member, is woefully out of step with society if it thinks that society should support taking restrictions off on the draining of wetlands. At the same time, we're talking about this in America, the reelected premier of the province of Manitoba, a place that does not have a stellar conservation record, has now created a fund of $150 million headed to $200 million, which, by the way, in Manitoba is real money. There are barely a million people living in Manitoba. And he has created what is going to be a $200 million fund to stop drainage in Manitoba, to work with area farmers under this program called GROW, which is designed to help landowners and farmers not drain their property, to keep the water on their property, to reduce the flooding. Winnipeg's been underwater three times in recent years because of the flooding of the Red River. Much of that's coming from North Dakota. Manitobans have said enough. We want to save the wetlands we have left. We want to save the potholes we have left. And they've created a $200 million trust fund to start doing this. What does Manitoba know that the American Farm Bureau doesn't know? Why are we trying to, as I said, deplete our wetlands in the United States when our neighbors to the north realize that the loss of wetlands is causing enormous flooding, a degradation in the quality of life? It's causing pollution. It's causing a loss of wildlife. This is an issue that, if it continues in 2020, I will predict will become a major campaign issue. I don't think the American public is on the side of more wetland drainage. I'll be back in just a moment with more on The Great Outdoors. And when I do, I want to talk about what could be an interesting development in the world of migratory birds. Thank you very much for being with me this morning. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.
In the great outdoors, the golden rule is always be prepared. Chevy Silverado is built for the rough terrain. Silverado's drive mode selector lets you adjust for tow and haul, snow and ice, sport, or off-road. And Silverado's Z71 off-road package offers all-terrain tires, hill descent control, and off-road suspension. Plus, with over 12,000 pounds of available towing capacity, you can haul snowmobiles, trailers, RVs, you name it. Answer the call of the wild. Chevy's OnStar navigation gets you anywhere you want to go in safety and in comfort. And right now, get 0% APR financing on a 2020 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Pickup. It doesn't get any lower than zero. So track down a new Chevy Silverado at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer, or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details. Power, versatility, navigation. Chevy Silverado is a beast, built to survive in the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And before the break, I was talking about what the landmark action that the province of Manitoba has taken to improve its water quality and to reduce the drainage of wetlands. This is also extremely important to the North American Wetlands Conservation Act, which is the largest multi-country, United States, Canada, and Mexico, effort to fund wetland, waterfowl, and wetland-dependent birds' habitat and to secure their future. So, as we often do, we seem to be working at cross purposes. Manitoba has signed on and is going to be a leader in North America in saving and restoring wetlands. We have the North American Wetlands Conservation Act, which is the mechanism to work with landowners to save and restore wetlands. And we are moving in a direction of agricultural policy where there's a lot of pressure to take off all controls so we can just have the Wild West when it comes to the draining of wetlands. This will shake out, as I said before the break. It's an election year, and I don't think this is an issue that's going to be dodged, particularly. And this is January, and I said this a year ago at this time, not that I had foresight. I don't. It just was my view on my having spent much of my life in the Mississippi River Basin and the alluvial plain, that we were going to have last year, if the weather pattern continued, the worst flooding in history. We had the worst flooding in history. This year is setting up right now, it can change, to be a virtual copy of last year. The only thing that will be different is people have fresh on their minds the amount of flooding and hardship, the loss of crops, the loss of businesses, the loss of transportation on the Mississippi River, the Illinois River, the Ohio River, what all of this flooding caused. It's not something in the distant rearview mirror. It was just months ago. And we are looking at the potential of it happening again. Right now, we're already at flood stage in many rivers, and we've got a lot of snow, and we haven't had a spring melt. So even if at this point in time we had a normal precipitation runoff and rainfall and snowfall from now through April, we're going to see major flooding all over again. And I think you're going to see the dialogue change. A lot of people are scared. They've lost property, sometimes lives. But they've lost property and they're losing their future, and they're not going to stand for it. I think we're going to see a tremendous change in the dialogue this year if we have the kind of flooding we had last year, which right now, I don't go to Vegas, but if I went to Vegas, I would say it's looking like last year. So all that lines up, that wetlands and water and flooding are going to be on the minds of politicians in an election year in those areas where it takes place. And on that score, there is something incredibly interesting that's developing. The Corps of Engineers is being held accountable for the first time by the courts for flooding. Hurricane Harvey caused, I guess, billions of dollars worth of damage in Houston and southeast Texas when it struck a few years ago. Well, the courts have resolved all that, and guess what they said? They said the Corps of Engineers was intentionally flooding lands that it did not have a right to flood. When it opened the dams and let more water out of the reservoirs so the reservoirs wouldn't break, it said that the Corps did not have the right to do that. It was a taking of private property. In Illinois right now, there is the beginning of what will be a transformational lawsuit. Farmers along the Kaskaskia River have been inundated for several years running. And the Corps of Engineers is using, according to them, is using their farmland for water storage, for which the Corps of Engineers has no easement to do so, and for which the Corps of Engineers never purchased that right to do so. So this has happened in Ohio. It's happened in Iowa. Last year we had Logan Russell from Mississippi on the air talking about how many, many landowners in Mississippi are banding together to say, the Corps of Engineers, you are taking our land. You never paid us for it. You are taking our land for flood storage without compensation. In Illinois, it looks like we're going to have the same kind of lawsuits. And this is a changing of the tide. The Corps of Engineers has been often revered by farmers and landowners for the work they do. That's no longer true. People are recognizing that private property rights have been trampled on by the Corps of Engineers when they flood individuals' lands for which they did not have any economic right to do so or any permits to do so. And the Corps says, well, it's nature. We've got to do things this way. I think in 2020 we're going to see a sea of legislation coming, just an absolute tidal wave of legislation, of litigation coming against the Corps of Engineers by landowners across the Mississippi alluvial plain, saying you don't have a right to put this water on our property. And it will take years to work its way through the courts, but the ultimate result could define how we move water in America and what the rights of the government are and what the rights of landowners are. It's a very, very big issue. So in just a couple minutes I have left, I did want to talk about what is happening with migratory birds as we wind down a year of what was just terrible planting conditions last summer. There definitely has affected the migratory bird population. Fall migration, winter staging areas, many traditional areas of the Mississippi and Central Flyways have not seen anywhere near the number of migratory waterfowl they would ordinarily expect. Ironically, we don't know where they are. It's not as though they showed up somewhere else. Illinois will again have completed one of its worst duck seasons. Last year was, I believe, the worst in modern day record. It's possible this year will even be worse. Louisiana in 2019 saw roughly half the number of waterfowl harvested in the state that it traditionally does, and reports are this year is no better. So there's been a dislocation of birds, a relocation, if you will, but we don't know where they've relocated to. We're not finding them in surveys. The Fish and Wildlife Service hasn't said, oh, well, a million birds moved to the Rainwater Basin and that's where they are, and that Kansas is full of birds and Oklahoma's full of birds that used to be in the Mississippi Flyway just 2 years ago. No one is saying that. So the real question for the professionals is, we know that the migratory patterns last year and this year have dramatically been altered. The question is, where did these birds go? Because they're not showing up anywhere. And maybe that begs the question, how accurate, and we hope they're very accurate, but how accurate are our censuses and surveys if we're seeing massive areas of the Mississippi Flyway, the most historical rich areas for wintering waterfowl, not have very many? Thanks very much for listening. Much more on the Great Outdoor Show coming next week. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.